Chapter 4, and I don't want to overwhelm you with the same thought subject, but I felt like we needed to finish this message today, and Lord willing, Wednesday night we'll have we won't even be on this topic, but we're not finished with this series, but Wednesday night I have a different direction, and so if you want something fresh or different, come back Wednesday night. But Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll read, we've been reading verses 1 through 6, but we're going to add verse 7 to that tonight. I don't know why I hadn't been reading verse 7. It's so good, and we need it. You've been seated a while. Let's stand together. Honor the Lord's word as we read. Give him a minute to stretch. There, say amen. Amen. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another, in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now that's where we have preached through that verse, and we've just been going word by word, phrase by phrase, verse by verse. Verse number 6 goes on to say, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. I don't know how I've left verse 7 off, but that's so powerful and rich. Let me read it again. But unto every one of us is given grace. Well, what a promise. To every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Amen. All right, you can have a seat. Thank you for standing. Dealing with the subject again, the source or the power source of our unity. And we looked at the plea of unity or the plea for unity and the profit or the benefits to unity. And then last Sunday morning, we began looking at this message and being the power source or the power supply of unity. And then we looked last Sunday morning at how we find our unity in God the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, right there in the verses. And then this morning we looked at how we find our unity in God the Son. And boy, ain't it just clear that He, the Holy Spirit, and the Son of God are the power source or the power supply. If we're going to have unity, that's where it comes from. He's the head of the body. He's the one that produces and presents this unity to us and provides it for us. And again, I'm not going to re-preach, but it doesn't say that we manufacture this unity. It says maintaining the unity. Not something that we produce. It's something that was provided for us and that we maintain. And so tonight, just for a few minutes, we'll look at verse number 6 and finish this thought, Lord willing, and let's read again verse number 6. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now, when it says in you all, he's not in everybody. He says, is that a contradiction? Well, no, he's in every saved person. This is written to the church of Ephesus to save people, to brothers and sisters in the Lord, and to every believer, to every born-again child of God, it's written to you. And he's the Father is in you. Amen. That's what it said. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Now, we've heard that the Holy Spirit comes and indwells us, and He does what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? He lives in us. And we know that Christ in you, the hope of glory, He lives in us. But the Father is in you all. So the whole Trinity, the whole Godhead is in us, according to the Word of God. Now, it isn't just the Spirit and the Son of God that contribute to the unity of the church. The Father absolutely is also involved. Notice what Paul teaches about the Father and His involvement. Number one, His position. The Bible says He is the one God. There's not many, as we've dealt with this morning, concerning the Son and the Spirit. Just one. And the truth is that there is but one God is the foundational truth of both ancient Judaism and also New Testament biblical Christianity. One God. It's not a new thought. It's not a new doctrine. It goes way back to the beginning. The ancient Jews said it this way in the Word of God. Hear, O Israel. It's Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And that's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's Jehovah God. God the Father. God the sovereign God of the universe is one God. That's all the way back in the book of Deuteronomy. The early church affirmed the oneness of God as well. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8, verse 4 through 6, as concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols. We know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom all things, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom all are all things, and we by Him. So whether you go back to ancient Judaism and ancient historical truths and promises and precepts all the way back in the beginning, God was defining Himself as being the one God. There are not many. You say, well, we know that. Well, I hope you do. I'm sure you do. But we need to be reminded of the fact that He's one. And what's the purpose? Because this, we're talking about the power source and the power supply for us to have unity, and that just the heading. Christ is the head that we're under. Christ is the head of us, the body. We're connected to Him. The Spirit is the one who unifies and works in us and connects us to each other. And the Father is Father of us all, meaning we're brothers and sisters in the Lord. We have one Father. We're family. And amen. It should produce some unity. James 2:19, thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. Goes on to say, the devils also believe and tremble. But since He is God, He is to be feared and loved and believed and worshipped, served and obeyed, honored and glorified, magnified by all His creation. The idea of one God is the central hub of all that we are and all that we believe. We find the basis of our unity in the person of the one God we acknowledge and worship. So we see His position. He's sovereign God, sits high upon His throne. Not only His position, but then His person. And I'll just be brief here, but just think about the name. Father. I'm going to read a verse in just a minute that just, it's one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible, and it always has been. But if you had an earthly father to fail you or let you down or not be there, may not even know who your earthly daddy is, or whatever the case, may have had a good godly father, that's wonderful. But I remember growing up as a boy wishing that I had a daddy that was near me and that was involved in my life and somebody I could count on. and somebody I could look to and turn to and seek advice from and throw a ball with or teach me fishing or whatever the case, teach me about the Lord. But and there was voids and empty spots in my life as a boy growing up looking for a daddy. And then when I did see him, it was just let down after let down, heartbreak after heartbreak. Until one day, I got gloriously saved. And from that time on, I no longer when I looked to a father figure did I have an emptiness or a void. I had an abundance of fullness and satisfaction because I had a father, and he was my heavenly father, and he fulfilled every hole that was there, and he surpassed every expectation I ever had. He was always there. There was never a time that I would look and he would be not there. He was there for every ball game. I mean, for every talk, for every prayer, for every need I had. He was there. And he's still here. And he ain't let me down yet. He won't let you down. So I'm talking about his person. And he is a person. Get this idea out of your head that we serve a God who's got a big long beard sitting up in heaven with a walking cane. And no, he's a person. He's God, the Father, your Father. Yeah, so think about his person. This reminds us that this one God is also the Father of all those who are in Christ. If you're saved, it shouldn't be strange to you. He's your Father. So I know he's your Father, but listen, if you're saved, you ought to be on first name basis. And I mean, you ought to be able to walk into his presence and say, Father, or as the Bible says, we cry, Abba, means dad-da, like a little baby. A toddler would say, dad-da, and he hears. Amen. We don't have to get all weirded out, nervous. I went over to Tommy's today, my mom and Tommy's, hey, he's my stepfather, has been most of my life. And I don't get nervous walking into his presence. He's as much my father figure as any man ever has been. And when I go in his presence, when I go in his home, I feel at home. When I go to talk to him, I can talk to him about things I wouldn't talk to any other human about. Why? Because I have a relationship with him. As my father figure, there is a oneness there between me and him. There is a source of strength that I can receive from him, stability I receive from him, faithfulness I receive. I mean, I'm telling you, it's not a weird, crazy thing. It's a relationship that I have and that has been built over many, many years, decades. And I don't get nervous to go in his presence or into his home or have conversation with him. And it should not be any different in our relationship with this person who is our Father, our Heavenly Father. We should talk to him. We shouldn't go on and on. By the way, you want to learn how to pray better? This is not no small thing. Study how Jesus prayed. You know what he always prayed? How he always prayed? Our Father. That's how he started his prayer. I've listened, on purpose, listened to some of the greatest prayer warriors I know living. You know what they all have in common? They pray just like that. They start with our Father. A lot of times we'll say, Jesus and this and that. And I ain't saying you can't. I'm just saying the right way, the pattern that was given us is our Father. In Jesus' name, but our Father. Amen. That's right. So, he protects us as a father does. He protects us. He loves us. He cares for us. He provides for us. He hears our prayers and he secures us in his love and his salvation. Listen, I ain't gonna take time. I ain't got time to deal with pathetic fathers and slack, lazy, pathetic human beings who have a title with the name Father, but don't fill in none of that that goes with it. No, don't take any of the responsibility. Don't take any. Listen, if the Bible says if a man won't work, he don't deserve to eat. and if it don't work, he's worse than an infidel. A father that won't provide for his family is absolutely pathetic. And not only provide, but protect. And that means if you're going to protect, that means be there. Be part of their life. That means if a danger is going to invade or intrude in their life, you got to be there to protect and put you in between them and for you to be the protecting hand. And thank God for a heavenly Father that does that. But we need some earthly fathers who will be that in the home. You don't know what's wrong with America? Do the study. I'm sincere about it. And even the world's coming along to this idea. But it all goes back to when fathers left the home. The family was not meant to be, children were not meant to be raised in a home without a daddy. And it absolutely has consequences that we cannot see. And it has been like a tidal wave across our country, and it has absolutely bankrupt our homes because there's no father in the home to provide and protect and train and love and teach and secure that position. As a father, he's taken full responsibility for us, for our lives here and for our ultimate life there. I'm glad. Thank the Lord. Ain't you glad, Brother Ned, he saved you? Ain't you glad he forgave you? All that he did. But ain't you glad getting from where you are saved today? Ain't you glad it ain't up to you to get all the way to heaven? He's going to see to it. He's going to make sure that you land where you're supposed to land. There ain't a mix-up on the papers and you accidentally get shuttled off and down to hell. No, he'll see to it. You are his son. You are his child, his beloved child, and he will make sure you are exactly where you need to be with what you need and that you will always have what you have by the grace of God. That's what a father does. He sees it through to the end. He don't just be there at the beginning and take the pictures and get the title and put the first bit of clothing on. No, he's going to make sure. Come birthday one, daddy's going to be there. Come birthday two, Christmas two, three, five, six. He's going to make sure you graduate college. He's going to make sure you know how to change oil, cut the grass. That's what a daddy does. He's there for the journey.
Yes,
amen. Boy, ain't you glad God's that way? Our Heavenly Father is that way. He ain't never quit you yet. He ain't never failed you yet. He's been there, and he will be until the end. One of the greatest truths in all the Bible, the verse I mentioned earlier, one of my favorite of all time, 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Listen, he's with us for the journey, and while the journey is proceeding, he's working on us. They sang the other day, he's still working on me. To make me what ought to be. Ain't you glad you got a father that loves you enough to knock off of you what don't look like him and what ain't pleasing to him? He's going to work on you, and he's going to see to it that when he appears, you're going to be just like him. Amen. What manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? Then it says, beloved, now are we. Not we ain't just called, we are. And we ain't waiting to be. He said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Amen. We are members of the same body, have the same Father. We share a unity that transcends every human relationship, every human problem, and every human struggle. Because of this bond, because of who our Father is, we have a commonality. We have a union that should transcend human problems and human divisions and human struggles. We are one in Christ, and we are one because of our Father. We share the same Father, and that makes us family. The fatherhood of God is the basis for our unity as believers. So that's his position and his person. Then finally, his power. And I could preach a whole message on the power of God, but I'm just going to touch on it. But he's above all. That's what the Scripture said. If you'll look at it again, one God and Father of all, who is above all. And through all. And in you all. He's above it all. That's the power of God. And I'm working on a message. I almost preached it tonight. But this world that we're living in, this community, or whether it's in Idaho or whether it's in South Carolina or whether it's in China or wherever, this world needs to see a church that has the power of God. Now, how do we get that? It ain't that we just like, it's just like unity. We can't produce it. No more can we produce unity than we can produce the power of God. But God the Father has all power. Jesus has all power. He said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. And so he has the power. He wants to display the power. He wants to manifest his power. But he has to have a people, a church. He has to have his children, his family, who are willing and at a place where we can receive his power. And that's what the world is looking for. Not man-made religion, not good singing. The youth choir blessed my heart this morning. Best I ever heard, y'all. It was wonderful. But I'm going to tell you something. You got to have more than sounding good. You got to have the touch of God with the power of God. And that's why we'll put a hook in people and draw them. It's the power of God. And man can't replicate that. Manufacture that. No, that's God's. And God will manifest that by being present with us and presenting his power to us. And that's what this world needs. That's what needs to be noised abroad, that he's here and that his power is being manifested and he's changing lives and saving sinners. Putting homes back together. That's the power of God. That's what no preacher has the ability to do. No church has the ability to do. But God, in, by, and through us, absolutely can radically change lives. And that's what the world is looking for. So, in the last statement Paul makes, it is clear that the Father is active in all of our lives. This means that God is the one who is in control of all of our life. He is. He's over every circumstance in your life. So next time you got a bill that needs to be paid, rather than calling me and telling me about it, or rather than me calling you and telling you about mine, we have a Father who's present and clear and near and over every situation. He absolutely is. He whether it's some kind of physical malady, whether you got a child that's sick, whether you're facing cancer or surgery or fill in the blank, whether you got marriage problems or children problems, God knows, and He's there. He's in that circumstance, and He's very close and near you, and He's over it. He can manipulate and change the situation to your favor. He can. He absolutely can. He's got the power to do it. He's involved in every situation. He dwells in all of His children. And it is a picture of the supreme lordship and of his sovereignty. Our God is over all things. No power can overcome him. No government, thank the Lord, can stop him. No power can thwart him. I'm doing a deep study on artificial intelligence, AI. Have y'all heard of that? There's some stuff going on. It's here. I mean, we've been hearing about it for years and decades even. But they stuff, how many of you know that they're already taking babies? You won't hear this on Fox News or surely the rest of them. But this is a fact. They're already taking babies and taking these huge supercomputers and putting things in their brain and then monitoring them for years and years. They've paid their parents millions and millions of dollars to get these babies and these infants so they can monitor them and better create a computer system that can augment and work in their lives. So I would never do that. Yeah, that's the equivalent of a baby sacrifice to give your child to some wicked group like that. But my point is, that's just the beginning. My point is, that's to those who willingly would give. But it's headed to every one of our children. That system, I ain't talking about that we would give right to. I'm saying that system is here. And it's powerful. Oh, I shouldn't even say this out loud. Well, since Jerry told me I could. Listen. How many of y'all ever heard of ChatGPT? It's new. It's big. And you teenagers better not be on it. But it's going to overturn the whole school system. Artificial intelligence is so powerful that teenagers are already doing this. They'll have tests, or they'll have exams or a paper to write, like a year end or a big paper to write, and they can tell this computer through ChatGPT what they need wrote, just the subject, and they can write one sentence in their handwriting, and that computer will generate a whole report perfectly done that's not traceable by man in their own handwriting. And there's no way to detect it. There's no way to thwart it. There's no way to change it. And I'm saying, do you see how, that's just one little bitty way in. It's going to absolutely change everything. And the reason I mention it is I'm saying that is powerful. I've wondered and thought, how in the world are we going to battle that? How are we going to defend that? How are we going to stop that? And I'll tell you how. It's because we have a Father who is above all. Even the supercomputers and even what this world is going to bring, and the perversion and the chaos that the devil and this world is going to unravel and unroll to planet Earth and to humanity. Thank the Lord we have a God and a Father who is above all and who is in all and through all and in you all. Yeah. Thank the Lord. I'm telling you, in and of our own strength and ingenuity and power, we would be doomed and damned what we're facing. You say, that's nonsense. That's crazy. That stuff can't even happen. Have you read your Bible? Do you even realize what's coming to this world? Have you read about the tribulation? Have you read about what's coming? That's child's play to what's coming. I'm telling you, this world is lining up. There's a one world currency that is, our government's already got the everything in place just to flip it over and it be digitized. And your dollar bills not be worth anything. It's going to happen soon. You say, that's crazy. No, that's what the Bible says is going to happen. And we're there. So does that scare you? It concerns me greatly. And I'd lose my mind if it wasn't for the fact that I have a Father who's above all and has power to deal with it. And know that we, not only has He got power to be over that, but He's got power to be in and over me and through me. And He will see to it and has promised that He was going to get me to the end, get me through it. And you too. He ain't going to leave His children behind. Thank the Lord. So, He's God over all things, from the very heights of heaven to the scorched floors of hell. Every star follows the course God give it. Amen. Every molecule in the universe is doing exactly what God designed it to do. It ain't took a left turn and veered off. No, it's doing exactly. And it's under exactly the control that God has placed over it. Matter of fact, the Bible says Jesus is governing it all. Yeah, God is through all, not only over all, but He's through all. This means that God is working in all things for His to accomplish His eternal purpose. He's over it all, so it's going to come out to the expected end, but He don't just leave it. he didn't just, get the world rolling and say, I'll see you at the end. No, he's going through it step by step, amen, day by day. He's with you. Amen. So he knows what he's doing. By the way, and this is where we'll close. He don't need my help. And that, you say, what's all this got to do with unity and the power source? Because this is it in a nutshell. He's God, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, and God the Father. And he's got power over it all. We've dealt with that tonight. That being said, he don't need me to interject my strength and my power and try to help him. That's where we come to loggerheads. If we'll just do it God's way, it's one way. And we'll all fall in line, and we will, because it's one way, we can be unified in doing it. But when I try to help God out and I try to go over and say, God, it needs to be done this way, and somebody else says, no, it needs to be done this way, that's when we start clashing heads, and that's where your idea has to prevail. And I say, no, my idea's got to prevail. And no, it's got to be this way because this is the best way. And if it wasn't the best way, I wouldn't be thinking it was the best way. Because it's me, and obviously I'm going to think what's best. And that's exactly how you think. Because if you didn't, you'd change what you thought, and then you'd think it was the best. Yeah. We all think that way. But the reality is we're all wrong from time to time, and God ain't. Amen. And God don't need my input. God don't need my help. And when I do that, I am messing up big time. And so are you. That's where a lot of our divisions come from, because God's working out his will and his plan, and somebody gets the crazy idea, well, this just ain't how I'd do it. Or it could be done much faster, Lord. It could be a lot cheaper, Lord. Well, God knows all that. He knows exactly all that. And he's got a way and a will, and he's working it. And it ain't up to us to get involved and try to help God out. God don't need your help or mine. He's God. Some of the worst mistakes I've ever made in my Christian life has been not just in my ministry, but in my marriage, in my life. Some of the worst mistakes I've ever made is trying to get ahead of God and help him. Good intentions, right spirit, didn't think I was being prideful, but in all reality I was being prideful, thinking I could help God. That's a terrible place, I'm telling you. Get impatient and just prideful, thinking I know best. And before I know it, I will get involved in a conversation with somebody trying to help that person get closer to God, or trying to help that person lay something down or pick up something or draw closer to God. Last time I checked, that ain't my job. That's his job. He's their Father. I'm not. He's the Holy Spirit in their life. He's their guide and their comfort. I'm not. He's their Savior and their Lord, and it's him who is absolutely capable of working one-on-one with that person. Should we teach the Word of God and be examples? Absolutely. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying just remove our hands completely. I'm saying we cannot afford to get in God's way and try to help God out. Because that is us taking on our own mentality and our own understanding. And before we know it, we have made an absolute mess in marriages, in churches, and in any situation in life that we try to help God out when he's got it in full control. Yeah. I was joking with Brother Dennis the other day. We was talking about people. People used to say, Jeff, you know exactly what I'm talking about. They'd say, I need you to work on my car, and I'm going to bring it to you. I'm going to have it delivered to you. That's when you know, red flag. Why don't you just bring it to me? Oh, I done took it halfway apart for you. Yeah. Well, you can keep it. Bolts scattered from here to yonder. Done broke half of them off, stripped the other half, cross-threaded the third of them, and lost about half of it. But it should be high price, shouldn't it? I mean, I've done half the work. That's how we think. Do you see how goofy that sounds in front of God and everybody? But that's exactly how we operate. We will say, look here, God, I did this and that and that. It should be easy for you now. He didn't need me to do any of that. I used to have a sign in my toolbox that said, labor rate, $70 an hour. $80 an hour if you've already been working on it. And $100 an hour if you want to help me work on it. Yeah. They would just look at me like I was crazy. Like, can't you see? I've done all this. And I want to smack them and say, can't you see? I would much rather me take it apart, me know where everything's at and do everything. And put it, I'd rather do the whole job. And God's saying the same thing. Get your muggy paws off my business. Quit cross-threading bolts in my church. Stop messing with people's minds. They mind. Stop polluting people. Stop helping. He's saying loud and clear, stop trying to help me. God is in you all. We know the Spirit dwells with us, within us, but we are informed here that the transcendent God who creates and controls the universe also dwells within His children. He unites us with His power, His purpose, and His presence. John MacArthur summed this verse up, these verses up, and said this, the comprehensive statement points to the glorious, divine, eternal unity that the Father gives believers by His Spirit through His Son. We are God created, God loved, God saved, God fathered, God controlled, God sustained, God filled, and God blessed. We are one people under one sovereign, overall, omnipotent, through all, omnipresent, and in all, God. Who we are. And boy, I'm glad for it. And you should be. And because He is all that, we can be all that we need to be. And that's united in Christ under the power and the presence of our Father and led by the one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. A man by the name of John Scott said, it is no more possible to split the church than it is possible to split the Godhead. Hear that again. It is, and I ain't talking about our church, I'm talking about the church. It is no more possible to split the church, the living God, than it is possible to split the Godhead. Well, that's so true. Yeah, we'll be done right there. Amen. That's our power source, the Spirit, the Son, and the Father, the Godhead. All right, let's stand together. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for you. The Word of God, thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts, Lord. I pray you'd speak to every person, God, every Christian. Lord, would you help us to get out of your way? Lord, to keep us in your will so we don't get in your way, Lord. Help us, God, to, Lord, be willing to serve you, God, in our lane. Lord, as you lead us, God, but help us to be patient. Oh, God, understanding that you are working and willing to work, God, in each and every life, in us and through us. And God, you are over us, And so, Lord, help us to be pleased, God, with the promise, Lord, of your presence in our life, Lord. God, I pray we would seek to maintain the unity, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, you'd help us to see, God, that you truly are the power, supply, and source, God, for us to do that. And we have so much in common, Lord, because you're one God, Lord, and you're one Father, one Savior, one Spirit, God, one faith and one baptism. God, we bless you for making it so simple. Now help us, God, to walk worthy, Lord, of that you've called us. And God, we'll thank you. And thank you, God, in Christ's name. Amen.